Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Well, it's one of those slow news days again, isn't it? Julian Assange arrested by the Brits, extradited possibly to the United States of America, where he'll face charges for hacking into a computer and publishing classified information. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli and 1210WPHA.com/Rich. You know, it's one of those things where looking at the reaction of Julian Assange, the arrest of the WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, it's really split. Obviously, this does not mean everybody, but it seems like people cheering for this are never Trumpers and Democrats who are cheering this on, cheering that he's arrested. I mean, there are also some, a lot of neocons are never Trumpers. But I mean, there are some people that are genuinely concerned with national security who do support the president, who are also cheering on this arrest and potential prosecution of Assange. But it seems like it's one of those things where because of what happened with the hacking of the DNC emails, there has been this long sort of bloodlust to get Assange and get WikiLeaks. And during the campaign of 2016, you know, the whole thing about, hey, if WikiLeaks can get the emails and release the emails, and then Fancy Bear, which is part of the GRU, which is the predecessor, you know, the precursor of the KGB. And then everybody looking at this and saying, well, this is where the Russia collusion really happened. And so there are a lot of people today cheering on Assange's arrest because they're saying, well, now we'll get to the bottom of this. Now, Mueller's report is in, but it's not finalized. And now that they'll get Assange, and maybe they can flip Assange, and he can talk about really what they all suspected was the real collusion, which is WikiLeaks and Russia and working on hacking and then releasing the emails and then working on whatever else WikiLeaks worked with Russia to try to influence the outcome of the 2016 election. So there are a lot of people cheering that on today. Flip side of that, there are a lot of other people who are saying this is a very, very dark day for the First Amendment and for journalism in this country, because ultimately what Julian Assange did was publish things. Now, if he's found guilty of the conspiracy to hack a computer and then steal information, no journalist is allowed to steal information. But publishing classified information is a debate. Obviously, it's not settled by, I mean, it depends on who you ask. You know, different judges, different legal scholars, different constitutional advocates will say journalists can publish classified information. Others will say they can't. And then these matters will play out in court for the next 150 years. They'll never be settled. But the one thing, though, is that journalists cannot steal information. Everybody knows that. I mean, you can't walk in and hack a computer and steal information and then publish it. The publishing's not the problem, usually. It's the how you obtain the information. So that's what Assange is ultimately charged with. It's that. As Andrew C. McCarthy over at National Review put it in his very intelligent and sober piece, if they find that that's what Assange did, if they can prove that, then Assange is in some trouble. If they can't, then it comes down to, is he a journalist? And the debate over whether or not WikiLeaks is a journalist, no different from the New York Times. And literally, that would be the crux of the argument. If they don't have enough to prove that he actually conspired with Chelsea Manning to hack a computer and steal classified information, like the theft of the information is something that obviously as a journalist, you're not going to be able to get off of. And so the question is, can the government prove that? Assuming they can't, Then it comes down to the publishing of the information. This is where a lot of other people today are furious that he's arrested, because they say he published information. And if you start going after journalists for publishing information, we got a real problem here for freedom and transparency. Even if the information they publish is very, very, it makes the United States look bad. That's irrelevant, secondary to the fact that they have a right to do it. So then the defense, as Andy McCarthy puts it, will come down to whether or not Assange and WikiLeaks can prove, hey, we're journalists. We just publish information. All we are is just another news source, just another news site. It's a digital age, and we're no different than if a reporter at the New York Times had gotten the classified information and then published it. I mean, going all the way back to the U.S. Supreme Court's case and the Pentagon Papers, and then, you know, all the way up, this back and forth, back and forth. But if the New York Times had been given classified information and published it, and then if WikiLeaks was given classified information and published it, the question becomes, is that a First Amendment protection? Most people would say yes, based on court opinions. But like I said, it goes back and forth. For Assange's defense, it's a question of whether or not he can prove that he meets that standard. So now you look at the big divide here on the people that are upset about this arrest and then the people who are cheering up this arrest on. And one of the things I find is that a lot of this comes down to Russia collusion. I mean, let's face it. If Julian Assange and WikiLeaks had not published the DNC emails, if they had not leaked all of John Podesta's emails, if they had not put out there all those different things, a lot of people think maybe he would just still be in Ecuador living in the embassy and just, you know, biding his time till he died. But once that happened, there were people who were out to get him, and that it was inevitable that they were going to get him. And there are some people today tweeting out Glenn Greenwald, who is with The Intercept. He's furious about this today. Harlan Hill, one of Trump's pollsters, the guy who called the election right, furious about this today. A bunch of people. A lot more people on the right are angry about this arrest than on the left, which is also interesting because we live in these crazy times. You don't have a lot of journalists out there defending Assange. They want him taken down because he published all Podesta's emails. You don't have a lot of Democrats defending him. They want to see him go to prison and rot in prison for the rest of his life. And then you have some never-Trumpers out there like Ben Sasse, Senator Ben Sasse, who is cheering on Assange's prosecution and saying he should die in prison. And of course, then there's a conspiracy of what Assange knows that Mueller wants, and that now that they're going to bring him back here, where he could face the rest of his life in prison, if they can show that he stole classified information from U.S. computers, if he hacked in and stole that information, whether he's a journalist or not, they could get him. If they can get him on that, he's going to go away for a long time. So then, will he plea and cooperate with Mueller? For what though? Nobody knows. But again, it fuels the narrative, does it not? It fuels the narrative of Russia collusion, where they go, well, Assange knows because Assange is the one who published the information that he got from Fancy Bear. And Fancy Bear is just an outlet of Putin's KGB. And so therefore, that's your collusion right there. And then did the Trump campaign, vis-a-vis Roger Stone, work with WikiLeaks and Assange to get all that information out there? By the way, from my perspective, it doesn't matter because information is information. You know, whether or not John Podesta's emails being published led you to choose Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, I think at that point, it's a laughable point. It really is. I mean, I don't think anybody switched their votes from Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump because of what was in John Podesta's emails. I really don't. I think it's a stupid point. I think it's one of those things where people say they have to put a face to collusion. Right. Those who still believe in this Russia collusion stuff, they got to put a face to it. So what they do to put a face to it is they say, well, if WikiLeaks had not put out those emails and the DNC emails, then people's minds, Hillary would have won. Now, how do you qualify that? You can't. It's impossible. But you can say it. That doesn't make it true, but you can say it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a second. I think the only way you could have proved that the efforts, if you could point to a single election machine being changed, votes being changed or something like that, or people whose votes weren't counted or something like that because of the work of WikiLeaks and the GRU. Otherwise, information's information, whether it's the Access Hollywood tape or it's John Podesta's emails. People are going to make up their minds, make their decisions. But I think at that point in the election, it was way too late. Way too late. So the arrest of Julian Assange and the arrest of WikiLeaks. And remember, before the Trump campaign, there were a lot of people on the right who hated this guy, wanted him taken down because he published a lot of stuff, the Chelsea Manning stuff that they had found and stuff about, you know, U.S. involvement in Iraq. And they had found other stuff, you know, things that had been done by the military and published all these things out there. And people said, this guy's weakening our country. This guy's undermining our national security. He is a national threat. He's a threat to our national security. That's what they label him. Then the election happens during the course of the election. And suddenly now WikiLeaks is putting out all this stuff on Hillary Clinton. And a lot of people flipped. A lot of people were out there saying the exact opposite. Julian Assange is a hero. WikiLeaks is a hero. They're putting out there what other people should put out there. And so this back and forth over Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. But what's funny, though, is the number of people who have been completely inconsistent on this. I mean, there were literally people who were defending Assange before the WikiLeaks dump of Podesta's emails and the DNC emails, who are now calling the guy to rot in prison. And conversely, there were people who were calling on Assange to be a free man, or I should say, to go to prison because he was a threat to American security, who are now saying, this guy's a hero, because without him, we never would have got to the truth about Podesta and the Clinton campaign and the DNC and all of it. And that's why they're going after him, and that's why they're punishing him. And I'll tell you what, this prosecution, if it even happens, because let's face it, there's a bar. It's a little bit of a high bar to get him back on U.S. soil in the first place, even though the Brits will extradite the sealed indictment that came out. But then again, whether or not you're going to be able to prove any of this remains a big question. And by the way, notice how the media is saying that Donald Trump is now changing his opinion on WikiLeaks. Pay attention to that narrative as well. See, what I predict is that within the next, 24 hours, not even, 5 hours, 5 minutes, the narrative will be Julian Assange is the key to Mueller and the key to collusion and the key to finally bringing down the president. You mark my words on this. I'm telling you right now, I already see little snippets of this. Mazie Hirono, Democrat U.S. Senator from Hawaii, one of the dumbest people in the U.S. Senate, who came out there today and said, the fact that Assange has now been arrested shows why we need to see the entire unredacted Mueller report. And we have to get to the bottom of the Mueller report. And we need to understand what's in there. And we got to figure all this out because clearly now this is a central piece of this. Now, they don't know that. They don't know that at all. President was asked today about WikiLeaks and he said, I don't know. It's not my thing. I trust the attorney general will handle it. But some people are wondering, though, you know, was this ultimately the deep state at work here? Now, again, I'm not trying to float conspiracy theories. I'm just telling you what I've been reading all day because I've been fascinated by the coverage. I've been tweeting. I've been retweeting people and seeing reactions from things. And it's amazing to me. But one of the threads I've noticed is this. So Mueller closes his report. Right. Barr says there's no collusion. And, did nothing wrong. The president comes out. He's vindicated. And then. Like a week later, 2 weeks later, they get Assange and then they're to bring him back to the United States. Now, I don't know if the attorney general himself signed off on that. I don't know. Doesn't normally have to sign off on. I mean, this was a sealed indictment out in Arizona from 2017. So this sealed indictment of Assange, which was accidentally leaked in 2017, it's been out there before Bill Barr became attorney general. So they wanted to get Assange as far back as then. And so you have some people who are questioning today, the timing of this very suspicious. Is this now the deep state saying, well, you know what? Now that the Mueller report is going to be hidden and we're not going to get to the bottom of this and Mueller's covering for, now we got to get Assange and get WikiLeaks and show the collusion between WikiLeaks and the GRU. I don't know. But that is a very, very popular trending theory today, along with like 10 other theories that are out there today. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. What is your theory on Assange's arrest? And is he, in fact, a threat to national security? Is he a brave journalist? What do you make of this? So the big story today, Julian Assange arrested. And, of course, he's the founder of WikiLeaks. And the question is, what is all this about? And what does this have to do with Russia collusion? Is this a deep state at work, or is he an actual threat to national security? Is he a journalist, or is he a spy? It really depends on who you ask today. It's all over the place. 855-839-1210. The one thing, though, and this is where a lot of people are saying the timing of this is very suspect. So, couple things you got to realize now. WikiLeaks in the 2016 election, publishing all this information that they got, and Mueller has been looking at Roger Stone, who was one of Trump's advisors, of course, whether or not Roger Stone was colluding with WikiLeaks and whether or not, and then also Jerome Corsi and on and on. So Mueller closes his report and issues it to the Justice Department, and we don't know what's in it, but then like a week and a half later, they get Assange. But the indictment, it was a sealed indictment from 2017. What happened is there was a prosecutor who made a mistake and he was cutting and pasting from another indictment. And so he accidentally exposed that they had a sealed indictment against Julian Assange. going back then. So it's not Barr necessarily, the current attorney general, who's the one that's getting Assange, because they were getting Assange. So some people say, is this really the deep state at work? Let me play this exchange from CNN. This is now Jim Sciutto, who is he's a national security guy. He's on CNN. They're discussing this. They're discussing the link between Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, and Robert Mueller.
Big picture here, though, this is important because remember, he is central to several cases. He's central to Russian interference in the election. U.S. intelligence views him as a middleman, a cutout, that he was in effect part of this interference. He's central too to questions about what the Trump administration or Trump campaign, I should say, knew prior to the release of those materials, right? What were the communications between Roger Stone, etc.? Now, Robert Mueller may have already closed that case, but now you have a central witness in that case being extradited to the U.S. with the ability to question him on those topics. We should also remember, though, he's central to a case that preceded all of this, and this being the Chelsea Manning case, one of the big releases prior to the 2016 election campaign from WikiLeaks. And his lawyers now, Jennifer Robinson, been in touch with her for years. She's now saying that the extradition request from the U.S. relates to the Chelsea Manning case, which what is not clear is it confined to the Chelsea Manning case, or is that one of the issues that the U.S. wants to extradite him to the U.S. for questioning? I should also mention this is not his only legal problem, right, because he's been accused by two women in Sweden of sexual assault. And while those charges were dropped, I was in the courtroom when they went through all the evidence against him. While those charges have been set aside, Sweden made clear this morning they could reopen that case.
And those women said they were shocked. I mean, that one of them has put out a statement saying that she's been waiting for this for years.
Absolutely. And by the way, the British also have a case against him because he jumped bail, and that's another reason. So you got three governments in effect that are pursuing him.
Of course, this all comes back to Pennsylvania, because back in October of 2016 at a rally in Pennsylvania, the president was waving a report of the latest disclosures by WikiLeaks. And he said, boy, I love reading those WikiLeaks. So in U.S. indictment was filed in federal court in March of 2018 and unsealed Thursday. All right. So this was leaked in 2017, filed in court in March of 2018, and then obviously unsealed Thursday. So you see, it goes back a ways. It's not, you know, here comes Barr, Bill Barr, the attorney general, and then suddenly now it's they get Assange. So they've been working on this, which is why some people wonder, is this the deep state, or is this justice finally getting you? And the timing of how quickly this happened after Mueller's reports turned in. And is Julian Assange now, are they going after him because they hope he turns? And he can finally be the one who brings this all down, because he's the one the allegation, of course, is that he's working with the GRU, Fancy Bear, getting the emails and then giving them in coordination with the Trump campaign. And it's this back and forth collaborative effort of a conspiracy to steal emails from John Podesta and steal emails from the DNC and then publish them to help the Trump election campaign. You see where this is going. So the people who are outraged today about Julian Assange's arrest make a really good point. Like the ACLU. The ACLU makes a great point. You know, if you can just demand extradition for a journalist for publishing classified information, then this is going to be a great threat to all people in journalism. National security people, on the other hand, they have another point on this. They say, no, he's not a journalist. He's a guy who's working with Russia. He's a guy who's worked with Russia against the national security interests of our country. But you cannot get away from the Mueller aspect of this. And I don't think you can get away from the timing of this. It's very, very, in my mind, incredibly interesting. 855-839-1210. What do you make of this? Let me go to start with Joe in Newark, Delaware. Joe, how are you, bud?
Rich, thank you so much for taking the call. I absolutely agree that Julian Assange had previous sins and that he was a wanted man, but I actually think there's a different twist to this. I actually think it's the Trump and Trump administration that's responsible for doing this, and I'll tell you why I say that. Assange has a lot of valuable anti-Democrat information in his emails. By arresting him and extraditing him to the United States and putting him on trial, this is going to show how corrupt the deep state is. And the gauge to this is going to be, if Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama remain silent off the air with this Assange arrest, you can bet They are scared. I think the worst thing that could happen to the Democrats is Assange being extradited to the U.S., put on trial during a 2020 election campaign. I think Trump knows it. I think he knows the information Assange has. Sean Hannity's been out there interviewing with Assange, who's very close with the president.
Right.
This has been orchestrated by the Trump and his new head guy bar to bring this out. I think it's perfect timing, and he is, as a matter of fact, I think an Obama administration official was arrested today. I mean, things are being put in motion, and there's going to be some powerful people that are going to go down, and many in the Democratic Party.
Joe, thanks for the call, but I'm going to let you go because I hear a clicking sound in the background. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying exactly what you're saying, which is that he's the key to exposing things. But the flip to that, though, is Democrats today are celebrating this arrest, celebrating this, and tweeting out, you know, this is a great day for justice and a great day for it's like Democrats and Never Trumpers in particular are celebrating the arrest of Julian Assange. And then you have your usual suspects of freedom-loving libertarians and, you know, the Rand Pauls and the Ron Pauls of the world and others who are saying this is an outrage. This is an absolute outrage against freedom and liberty in the press and the First Amendment. It's very, the extremes on both sides. But the one thing, though, with regards to what Julian Assange put out there, you know that after the 2016 election, that whoever in the deep state wanted to get this guy wanted to get him even more, right? I mean, they may have wanted to get him ever since he was working with Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning, but they may have wanted him even more after that. So, you know, that's also something you can't necessarily dismiss. Jay's in Florida. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Good, man.
I think it's I don't think the term hero or, you know, enemy of national security or threat to national security, I don't know that they're exclusive. I think that you could argue that he's both, you know, because he revealed classified, you know, stuff that should be classified, you know, things like our interrogation methods and things along those lines. But at the same time, he also revealed some stuff that the United States general public deserved to know in those Podesta emails, like, you know, how they thought about certain things and, you know, Katie Couric writing emails for, you know, sending Podesta emails before she published stuff. So we deserve to know all that stuff. So, I mean, I think you could argue he's both.
Yeah, it's like Edward Snowden, for example. You could argue Edward Snowden is both as well, and a lot of people do. You know, that he's a hero for exposing this massive NSA conspiracy of spying against the American people, which, you know, had it not been for him, we wouldn't know about all this. At the same time, he committed a crime in doing so.
Hey, copy that, sir. Have a good day, brother.
All right, thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Yeah, and so, you know, getting this information out, and I'm a big fan of getting information out. You know, I'm not one of those guys that believes that you can really make an argument that the security of the United States is threatened by publishing information. I mean, I feel as if we've tried this in court, we've tested this before the Supreme Court in the Pentagon Papers case, and, you know, I'm for transparency, no doubt about it. It is a crime, though, to hack a computer and get information, which is what he's accused of. But he's not accused of espionage. He's not accused of spying against the United States of America. I mean, the charges against him, when you read the indictment, as I've read, it's really kind of a, you know, that whether or not he worked with Chelsea Manning, Bradley Manning at the time to, you know, hack an email and get information, you know, hack a computer and get information and then publish that information. So you almost have to wonder now. Jamie's in Wayne. Jamie, go ahead.
How you doing? Assange is the only one who knows who leaked the DNC emails. And there's that one staffer who was murdered. And they never looked into it. And how much does he know on that? And does this open up stuff on the deep state, if there's something deep there?
It's a great question. You're not the first person who's brought that up today, by the way, in terms of the murdered DNC staffer, Seth Rich, who was murdered in what they call the robbery, even though his wallet was on him and they didn't take any valuables. And it was, you know, one of those cases in D.C. where they just said, oh, you know, stuff happens.
They never even looked into it. So we'll see.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for the
call. Thank you
very much. Yeah, I appreciate it. You got it. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 is the number. Okay, so what are your thoughts on all this? And also, there's a bunch of other stuff to get to today. The media and the Democrats are going crazy over what the Attorney General said yesterday in terms of investigating spying. And it's particularly that word they're so hung up on. spying. So we're going to talk about that as well. 855-839-1210. The Zioli Show coming right back.
Rich Zioli, 3 till 6. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.